Well, it's a parenting day. You know, this is a ministry called Intentional Living. And we landed on that title a number of years ago. Wow, can't believe it's been a lot of years. Because we believe now more than ever in this generation, if we ain't intentional, we're going to have problems. And 2007, Stephen, reminded me in my ear. So we're going back a while to focus on living intentionally. Because if you're not, I'll tell you what, if you try to do anything else, you're either going to be good intentioned with a lot of regrets or unintentional and be very scattered. And so that's why we do this. And parenting is sort of the root of where we started. And so if you're intentional with your kids and your grandkids, there's a payoff for that. Train up a child in the way he should go. It's going to last. It's going to impact their lives in ways that you may not even see until way down the road. I am Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Stephen, the rest of the team. Yesterday, we took a lot of one thing calls, people sharing the power of one thing they wanted to pass along to a generation coming up behind. I got a couple more we want to get to, and then we have some questions from some folks that want to get some help. We'll get to those coming up in a moment. Let's go to Odette in Arizona. Hi, Odette. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Randy.
You're welcome. What do you want to share about the one thing?
I am actually not a grandma, but I've been parenting two teenagers now. So I would like to share something to the listeners.
Okay.
To, you know, saturate your children with God's and your presence. You know, these two teenagers, my husband and I worked really so hard to prevent them from being influenced by the world. And we've learned a long time ago that, you know, kids, they don't spend more time at home. They really spend more time outside, like in school. And so we made sure that we give them the time to saturate their lives with wisdom that comes from God. And we decided when they were little, when we get a chance to bring them to school together, we just do that. And we just, you know, they're just inside the car. And we make sure that we do our devotion together every morning. And then we ask them about how they feel. We saturate them with our presence as well. And, of course, God's presence. And then before the end of the day, we make sure we have evening time. We huddle about each one's day. How did it go? How did you feel about your day? And then we just make sure that we hear them. And like I said, we were bringing them to school together as often as we can. We don't do that now, but still we make sure that we make sure that they talk to God before they face their day. Now my kids are teenagers, and you know, they're God-loving teenagers, and they love serving the Lord, and we can see how much it paid off to do that. They understand what life is all about. They understand that it's not about them, that they shouldn't be self-centered, but God-centered, because they know that they are created to worship Him.
Boy, a lot of wisdom there, Odette, and you're really practicing that the teaching that we get in the Old Testament about teaching them while we're sitting and standing and going to bed, right? And that idea, you use the word saturate, and that's really what it is. We're saturating their lives by God's wisdom and by our involvement in their lives. And you won't regret that when you look back. Now, let me just say this, because I've dealt with and helped a lot of parents. You can be the best parent on the planet and do the very best job, but you still don't control the outcome of what the kids are going to decide to do. Now, the Bible does have this promise that says, bring them up in the way of the Lord, and they won't, you know, they're not going to leave it. But does it mean also where it says, you know, finding their unique bent, how they're wired, and getting in behind their eyes and training them? And I've been around long enough to know that sometimes the kids don't come back, or they don't really get it while they're at home. It takes someone else later on to reinforce something. All of a sudden they say, oh, I remember my mom. I remember my dad or my grandparents. And it makes a difference. But a great reminder, Odette, let's saturate our kids with the truth. All right, let me go to Wayne over in Texas. Wayne, what have you learned about parenting?
What I've done is I've learned to be very patient about questions. In other words, I don't have no biological children. I have stepkids. But I do this with my stepkids. I do this with the people at work. doing this with the children at church. What I've done is I've tried to be like Jesus, because whenever they ask me a question, it don't matter now if they ask me that question 100 times. I know how Jesus would answer it. He would just answer it because they don't know the answer and they want the answer. So that's what I have done with my parenting, is now whenever somebody asks me a question, I just answer the question because they need an answer.
Instead of a message or to be preached at that moment, right?
Yes. So I just answer their question because I want to be known as, well, if you got a question, you can go ask him. I don't want them to say, oh, don't ask him, he's going to get mad. I don't want that. I want to be like, and we all should want to be like Jesus, because I know how Jesus would answer that question. He would just answer their question again.
What I want to do in this lesson, because we're talking about yes and no, these two out of 170,000 words in the dictionary that Jesus chose to take out and put before us to say, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So it means something. It should mean something to us, right? And in the intentionals, there's 10 things, very briefly, to help us make our yeses and our nos work for our good. First of all, consider the consequences before you say yes or no. And whenever you say yes, there's going to be a consequence. Stephen Covey said, while we are free to choose our actions, we are not free to choose the consequences of our actions. Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. You and I, we all know people, right, who have said yes to things that you know they should have said no to. And the consequence was just around the corner. Other people could see it. And God refers to that as being a simpleton. Pretty powerful. And so considering the consequences before we say yes or no. Yes and no. Let your yes be yes, no, no. You know, the Bible reminds us of the power of that. And, you know, on the surface, we kind of throw out these terms, yes and no, and we answer people. And sometimes we don't really think about our answer before we give it. And this month, I give you 10 really practical reasons and powerful insights on the topic of your yes and your no in your life. And it's up on our member site, available to those who are supporting the ministry every month. Thank you so much. You've been so faithful in 2025 with your monthly support. It's the only reason and the only way we can continue on with the station and the program every day. And I thank you for being a part of it. And I'll tell you that as we approach the end of the year, if you're not a member, come and join us right now. You can help us close out this year. Your monthly support, what amount? We don't set an amount, but could I challenge you for 4 quarters a day, $1 a day, $30 a month? Come and join us, and when you do, we'll make sure that you get the code, the access to the teaching. You just heard an excerpt from one of the teachings. There's a whole archive of teaching available for you at our website. So again, come and join us. You can call during West Coast Business Hours, 888-888-1717. Press number 2, 888-888-1717, or go on over to the website, obviously, at theintentionallife.com, safe and securely, as you know. Click on that little donate icon, and you can join us and be a part of making a difference in the lives of somebody today. You know, like this, we're continuing this discussion on parenting and being an intentional parent. That's where we began as a ministry many, many years ago. And now taking this message of intentional living, not only to those of us who are parents, but also grandparents, married, singles, in our own lives, that we can live our lives the way God intended, with freedom and peace and, well, a lot of direction in our life. And you're helping us get this message out to people around the world, coming to Christ and living intentionally in Him. And I want to say a huge thank you on behalf of our entire team for your support for intentional living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right, we're going to move from the one things to questions. We got some folks who say, hey, I have questions for you, Randy, on parenting. Let's get going. Jeannie, you're first in New Mexico. What's your question?
I have a daughter that has OCD, and it doesn't matter what my suggestion for her is, whether it's to help her or guide her or coach her, she always has a better solution, a better answer, and refuses to take guidance, and often falters, stumbles, and falls because she refuses to take help. So that is my question, is how do you properly parent and guide a child that refuses your guidance and gets angry when given such guidance?
Foolish, foolish, foolish. I think the Bible, in fact, uses that term. There's a lot of fools mentioned in the Proverbs. And speaking of Proverbs, Jeannie, it says in Proverbs 13:13 that refusing good advice will only lead to trouble, while following it will lead to safety. Listen, we've got great kids, loving kids, who, frankly, and I say this kindly, but straightly, they're just dumb. They just don't listen. They think they know it all. And there's something about the brain of a young person that hasn't hardened up yet, and the maturity hasn't set in. And like many of us, we have to learn the hard way, unfortunately. And the more that we yell, the more that we demand, the more that we push, the further they get away from us. And we don't want to break the relationship. So obviously we need to pray for wisdom, pray that the hedge of protection that you hear me reference often, which is biblical, pray God that they build a hedge of protection around my loving but not too wise child, that they won't do something so dumb, so stupid that it becomes permanent in their life. That whatever things they brush up against and the prickers that hurt, that they'll learn a lesson. Like the prodigal, right? That had to get to the pig pen, didn't kill himself, but certainly was miserable, and then finally woke up and said, you know, my dad's servants are better off than I am, and went home. And then also, not only the hedge of protection, but also that they have an awareness that'll be an awakening in their life of where they are. And secondly, Jeannie, don't preach, just hold accountable. Don't jump in there and protect them, make it easy for them, fix their problems. And sometimes we got to let our kids bottom out. They got to hit that point where they have to make some wise decisions. Lots been written about being tough, you know. There's a soft and I look at it this way. There's a soft side of parenting and a tough side of parenting. The soft side, be there when your kids are hurting, confused, want help. They need that loving touch. They need that parenting, you know, counsel and support. And then you've got this rebellious, angry kid. That's when you need to be tough. What I mean by that, because like you said, you don't want to raise your voice. That's not the key. But you got to raise your sense of parenting. Hold them accountable. Love you, but no, that ain't going to happen in our house. And setting some rules and holding them accountable in the process. All right. Hope that helps, Jeannie. A lot of people praying for you. Let's go to Myra. Let me see, Myra. What's your question?
Hi, what if you're unequally yoked with your 16-year-old daughter? I brought her up as a Christian. She gave her life at 7, and now she's 16, and she says she's not a Christian anymore. We have nothing in common, the music, the shows. It's been really hard in my home for probably the last 2.5 years. Yeah, so it's just been difficult. I just wondered how do you handle this? It's been hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. Listen, Myra, you use that word picture of not being equally yoked, you know, and the Bible says that we're not to be unequally yoked with a non-believer. But keep in mind, that's really referencing either a marriage relationship or a business relationship where you're making a decision to be yoked with someone. You don't have any choice. This is your child. You have a responsibility. You are yoked. And so it's not a matter of, well, should I unyoke with my kid? They're there. She's 16 and she needs a parent. But again, I think similar to what I said to Jeannie is a lot of these calls come from single parents. And God love you, I know that's tough. But to be able to say, this is the way we operate in the home. Parents, we need to have a godly, firm backbone without raising our voice. You know, there's that little verse in Ecclesiastes that says that the quiet words of the wise person will be heeded more than the shouts of a ruler of fools. And while that may not have been written for parents initially, I see the application immediately. Instead of yelling or raising our voice or demanding that we have the quiet words of the wise, be wise, parent in a wise way, holding your kids accountable in the process. praying for you too, Myra. A lot of people. And by the way, we got thousands listening. As you hear some of these questions, I hope you'll be praying for some of these folks today. Dana, you're next in Arizona. What's your question?
I have a daughter who's about to turn 18, and I was wondering, what are you supposed to make your 18-year-old pay for? She pays for her own car. Do you make her pay for the gas, buy a portion of the food, buy her own clothes?
Yeah. I'd get as much out of them as you can. I'm just kidding. Come on. I'm having too much fun here today. 18 years old, and she's paying for her own car. I always tell parents when it comes to this finance thing, it matters a great deal to me on the disposition and maturity of the teenager. If you've got an irresponsible child and they just not going to help at all. I mean, they're not you're trying to train them. You don't need their money, I hope. I mean, maybe you do. Maybe that's another question, but it's not so much the money as it is the training. And if they're irresponsible, I think you got to kind of be tough and you got to hold them accountable. And they don't get the car or I'm sorry, you don't have any gas? Well, maybe someone can push the car home. I don't know, but you hold them accountable. On the other hand, if you have a responsible 18-year-old that's learning a trade, going to school, trying to get out on their own, and they're being responsible, I think you help them as much as you can. I would want to look back later and say, I helped them get over that hump, but they were working at it. I helped them get over it so they could be more successful. But if they're not on their way up to get over the hill and they're just sitting at the bottom waiting for you to pay the bills, I wouldn't do it. I'd say sorry. I'd look elsewhere to put that money. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
My name is Candace. I wanted to chime in today in regards to the topic of being a young parent and what's the one thing that they should do. And I'm 29 years old, so I guess I'd be considered a young parent. I have 3 boys, 6, 5, and 2 years old. I have a full-time job in which I work anywhere from 50 to 55 hours a week. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of parents who are going through a similar kind of situation. But I just want to encourage you and let you know that the time spent with your children is precious. You need to learn to just adore the season that they are in. Adore the way that they are. If they're silly and goofy, look at how joyful they are and share in that joy. Just be happy that when you come through the door, you've got 3 little bodies hanging off you. You're not going to find any, that kind of love anywhere else in the world but in your own home.
That's really true. That's good. Being a little goofy. All right, we're talking about kids today and God's intention for us as parents and grandparents and doing a good job with the kids. Because that's a legacy, isn't it? It's really, really important. All right, I think, let me see here. We appreciate the fact that you have a question and you've shared it with us. Looks like we have another one on the line. Go right ahead.
Hi, my question on adult children and money is, how do you encourage parents who are not feeling good about their financial relationship with their adult children to sit down and have that uncomfortable discussion about budget and limits and boundaries?
Okay. Yeah, you can start by saying, I ain't giving you any more. No, I don't think you'd start that way, and I wouldn't either. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:15 that we are to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. I think we do a disservice when we allow feelings to linger between ourselves and our adult son or daughter. And how we approach it is really important because it can leave a lasting negative legacy in the relationship. But if I don't know exactly what the concern is. I don't know if they're asking for money or you just see them misusing money. And their difference, if they're asking for money and being irresponsible, I think you need to just be very bold and sit down and say, hey, we're glad to help you, but we're just concerned. We don't see a plan. We don't see a direction you're taking. Before we give any more money, we want to see a plan. We want to see you following through whatever that plan is, and then we'll help you. If on the other hand, you're just seen to be irresponsible, boy, you got to approach that very delicately. To maybe offer to send them to a class, a Crown Financial class or a Dave Ramsey class, or get them up something that they might want to read. Spend a few bucks to send them to a class where they can learn about how to manage money. You can offer it, and if they're not interested, then you've got to just back off and be ready to deal with them when they come and ask for help, and they're being irresponsible. You really do. Okay, thank you for that. Let me see here. We go next to Becky in Kansas. Becky, it looks like you have a question. What's going on?
I have two teenagers, 13 and 16, and they are both boys. I'm a single mother. They do not see their fathers. I know that I'm a Christian. I was raised a Christian, and I'm trying to start walking with the Lord again. And I just want to know how to make this interesting for the children where they do know Christ and we do pray, but now I'm wanting to definitely be intentional with this in my life and theirs, and have them start doing devotions and stuff with me every day. And I just want to know how to get them more interested in that.
You know, they're on a different page probably, Becky, and different speed than you are. And we find this a lot when we really get moving down the path of spiritual growth. We're excited about what God's doing in our life. And then we see those who are in our family that we love and they're just not interested. It's frustrating because we think, man, don't you see it? Isn't it obvious to you? Well, it probably wasn't obvious to you either, Becky, a few years ago, but it's something that God's turned on in your life. I'd go back to something I referenced earlier in the show. If you go way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, you see the instruction that God gives to parents. And he says to parents, and of course, he's talking about teaching them the commandments of God. And he's saying to parents, listen, teach them diligently. And that word's a powerful word. In other words, you got to be diligent. We would say intentional, right? Teach them intentionally. In other words, you got to be consistent. You don't do it one day and not the next. But then it gives a really practical advice. Talk to them when you sit down. And he goes on to say, talk to them when you're walking together. Talk to them when you lie down. When they're going to bed, what a powerful time. I know they're teenagers. It's a little different. I understand that. But when things are quiet, to be able to listen to them and talk to them. Talk to them when they rise up. And as a single mom, I know it can be tough, but just to set the standard. Hey, I don't ask a lot, kids, but we're going to go to church on Sunday. I want you to be with me. And I know maybe you're not that excited. That's okay. I mean, that's all right. But we're going to do something together and then have lunch afterward together or whatever. But you're doing something that is for the family. And one of the things that we want to start doing we haven't done in the past is I want to read a little scripture and I want to pray before we have dinner together at night. And you take the lead. And you don't make a big deal out of it. You don't preach. You don't read something and say, see? See? If you were doing this, your life wouldn't be so messed up. You just let the truth of God's word speak into the hearts of those kids. And I think that's a really powerful thing. So God love you, Becky. And stay on the course. Be intentional. We're here for you. The show's here for you. The radio station's here for you. Get plugged into a church. Grow in your relationship with him. All right. Let me see. I think we've got time for another question or two. Go right ahead.
Hello, this is Chris. Just listening to your program of controlling people. I have a 16-year-old daughter in a relationship of a long-distance boyfriend, and I feel that he's very controlling of her, and so I just keep praying for wisdom for her to see that, because I don't want her to get too far in to this relationship. And then she finally wakes up and realizes he's not the guy that she thought he was. And I just would like help with intentional words to get through to her. He has such hold on her from such a distance. And I just ask for prayer, for wisdom for my daughter. Sorry for my tears. It's just an emotional thing for me to see that she seems so blind to. And her father and I are so seeing it. But, of course, as a teenager, she thinks we're idiots. So, thank you for listening.
Well, I'm glad to listen. I wish I had more time, Chris. Let me just say a couple things. You mentioned your husband. He needs to be involved in this. You guys need to stand together. Number two, don't criticize this guy. Because I'll tell you what you do. If she's, quote, in love with him, in fact, infatuated, whatever it is with him, anything you say against him, she's going to take personal and will reject it. I would encourage you to speak into her life as a mom. Honey, we love you. We want the best for you. And the choices you make now are going to make a difference. The relationships you pick. And we just want to ask you, we're just seeing some things that concern us. In other words, you put into her lap that sense of, have you thought about these things? Because if you tell her, she's going to reject it. If you put it in her lap, she's got to deal with it. And that could be in terms of questions like, are you comfortable with how you're being treated? Boy, we're concerned. We don't see it. That's very healthy for you. I wonder if that's going to get better or get worse. Seems to me that people don't get better. They get worse when it comes to relationships. I don't know, throwing into her lap some things she's got to wrestle with and then praying for, but let her see your heart, okay? Not the criticism. All right, we got to run. Thank you for being a part of this. It's been interesting, a lot of varied calls, and thank you for helping each other. Thanks for the questions. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living. We'll be back again next time. Hope you'll be here. Intentional Living, by the way, is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.
Hi, my name is Tammy. I just wanted to let new parents know I was raised in a home where my basic daily needs were met, but there was no emotion, no affection, and it has really caused me a lot of problems over my life and my brother also. If there's anything I can tell parents is love on your kids. Yes, you are responsible for meeting their daily needs, but please show them love, show them affection. Let them know that they are loved. You can say, I love you until you take your last breath, but if you don't show it, you can really mess kids up.
Boy, that's a powerful reminder here at the end of the show today. And of course, here we are on the eve of Thanksgiving. Many of you will be with family. I would just encourage you, we're thinking intentional living, be intentional with the next couple of days as you're getting together over this Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Have fun, enjoy the family, do things that'll draw you close together. Maybe you'll have an opportunity to share your faith, share the gospel, but let those kids, grandkids, nieces and nephews or family members know that you love them and that Jesus loves them as well. What a valuable thing to be able to spend some time, maybe, you know, may or may not be the last time for some of you to be with everybody in the family. From year to year, things change so rapidly. So be intentional and use this time, I think, in a way that brings glory to God and certainly benefit to you and trickle down into the family relationships. Well, we'll be together. Several of our, not all, three of our grandchildren are in Africa in the mission field with our daughter and son-in-law, but the rest will be with us here. And we're going to have a full house and a busy day together and looking forward to celebrating and being thankful for all that God has done for us in our lives and our family. And we look forward to being with you as well. We'll be here again tomorrow with more Intentional Living. By the way, again, we'd love to hear from you. 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com. I'm Dr. Randy. Have a great day for the rest of this one and for Thanksgiving.